Prayer. Number 1. Attitude of humility. Before we pray to God, we must first acknowledge the enormous gap between the Almighty God and all of humanity and come before Him with the correct attitude. God is vastly superior to anything our mortal minds can fathom because His holiness, power, and wisdom are beyond human comprehension. We should have an attitude of humility, sincerity, and reverence, knowing that we are undeserving sinners but can only approach God because of Christ's sacrifice on our behalf. 1 Peter 5 verses 5-6. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Isaiah 57 verse 15. For thus says the High and Lofty One who inhabits eternity, whose name is Holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Number 2. Hindrances to prayer. Prayer brings life to our relationship with God, and we must be careful to enter His presence under the right conditions. Many obstacles make our prayers ineffective or just plain worthless. If we know what displeases God, we can make changes and increase our chances of entering His presence, being heard, and receiving answers. The following is a list of hindrances to prayer. Number 3. Sin destroys prayer. By far, sin is the biggest obstacle that can kill our prayers, and if anyone has unrepentant sin in their life, their prayers are offensive to God. When someone is living in sin or has fallen into sin, the only prayer request that anyone should ask of God should be for mercy and forgiveness. Psalm 66 verses 18-20. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly, God has heard me, He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me. Ezekiel 14 verse 3. Son of man, these men have set up idols in their hearts and put wicked stumbling blocks before their faces. Should I let them inquire of me at all? Proverbs 28 verse 9. If anyone turns a deaf ear to the law, even his prayers are detestable. Proverbs 15 verse 8. The Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases Him. Proverbs 15 verse 29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayer of the righteous. 1 Peter 3 verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Number 4. Defiled conscience. Similar to the sin problem is the aftermath of sin, which is a guilty conscience. The only remedy is to confess our sin and ask for forgiveness and cleansing by the blood of Jesus. Our sins must be exposed, renounced, and cleansed before we sincerely approach God in prayer. Hebrews 9 verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? 1 John 1 verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 Timothy 3 verse 9. Holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. Number 5. Unforgiveness voids prayer. If we have unforgiveness towards others, God will not forgive our sins. If we hold on to anger and hatred and are unwilling to forgive, our prayers will not be heard or answered. First, as much as possible, we need to reconcile and forgive those who have sinned against us. Luke 11 verses 2-4. He said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." Mark 11 verses 25-26. "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses." Number 6. Strained relationships. If we are offended and bitter in any relationship, our conscience will be clouded, and our prayers will be hindered. We need to go to that person and set things right, ask for forgiveness and reconciliation. Matthew 5 verses 23-24. "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift." 1 Peter 3 verse 7. "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife, as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." Number 7. Double-mindedness. When we are double-minded, divided between serving God and serving sin, we should not expect to receive any answers to our prayers. You cannot serve two masters. We must choose one or the other. Luke 16 verses 11-13. "So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." James 1 verses 6-8. "But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does." James 4 verse 8. "Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Number 8. Hypocrisy and seeking recognition. Jesus was clear that the prayers of the hypocrites were just a big show to receive praise from man. Prayers intended for self-promotion, recognition, and to be noticed by men will only produce a more severe sentence of judgment against the religious frauds. Matthew 6 verses 5-7. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words." Matthew 6 verses 16-18. "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites, with a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Number 9. Repetitious dead prayers. Religious people mindlessly repeat prayers by rote. They speak with their mouths, but their hearts are far from God. They think that the multitude of words and repetitions will find favor with God, but their prayers have no value. Luke 20 verses 46-47. "Beware of the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and love to be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely. Matthew 6 verse 7. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Number 10. Old Testament and Psalms. The Old Testament has prayers from beginning to end, but the best examples are in the book of Psalms, which is a collection of prayers and songs. We will not outline all the Psalms for you, but if you read 5 Psalms a day, you will read all the Psalms in a month. David and the other psalmists were very emotional and dramatic with their prayers, and they wrote beautiful prayers pouring out their hearts and souls to God. Psalms 51 verses 1 to 12. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Psalm 63 verses 1 to 4. O God, you are my God, early will I seek you, my soul thirsts for you, my flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So, I have looked for you in the sanctuary, to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus, I will bless you while I live, I will lift up my hands in your name. Number 11. We need help. We just saw a long list of hindrances, which only points to why prayer can be a struggle or battle. There are so many things that either keep us from praying or from praying effectively. Even when we have the right attitudes, motives, relationships, and a strong desire to pray, we still fall short in our strength. The Bible tells us that we have weaknesses in prayer and that everyone needs help. Real prayer is not just words but dependence on God, not only for answers to prayer but also for the prayer itself. Romans 8 verses 26 to 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. John 14 verse 26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Ephesians 6 verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Jude 1 verse 20. Dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Number 12. Passion in prayer. God is not obsessed with form and substance, but looks at our hearts and sees our emotions. If we mouth prayers, but our hearts are far from God, He will not hear us. Matthew 15 verses 7 to 9. Hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth, and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching his doctrines the commandments of men. As always, Jesus is our example, and nobody ever prayed with the same emotion as Jesus, and his burden was so heavy that when he prayed, he was sweating drops of blood. Luke 22 verses 44-46. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Elijah was another example of fervent and passionate prayer. Elijah prayed, and it did not rain for 3.5 years, and when he prayed again, heavy rain fell and ended the drought. James 5 verses 14-18. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, subject to like passions, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Elijah's prayers were passionate, powerful, and to the point. Elijah gave a prayer challenge to the prophets of Baal. Elijah and the prophets of Baal would each set up altars and put sacrifices on the altars, and the God who sends fire to consume the sacrificial offering is God. The prophets of Baal prayed all day, cried out, cut themselves, and nothing happened. Then Elijah had them dig a trench around the altar and soak the altar in sacrifice with water until water filled the trench. Then Elijah stepped up and prayed a few words, and the fire of God came down and consumed everything, sacrifice, altar, and water. 1 Kings 18 verses 36-39. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near, and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, He is the God, the Lord, He is the God. Number 13. Flesh wars against God. We should pray for all the things we want, right? Wrong. That's one of our biggest problems. Sometimes our prayers are contrary to God's will as revealed in God's word, or our requests are contrary to God's specific plan for our lives individually. Colossians 4 verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Romans 12 verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If God's will is not the primary focus, the motivation of prayer could be out of pride, lust, greed, or other selfish reasons. Remember how Jesus prayed and sweated drops of blood, he agonized while praying, Not my will, but thy will, be done. He also confessed that the spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. Matthew 26 verses 38-41. Then he said to them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little farther and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Luke 22 verses 42-44. Saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me, nevertheless, not my will, but yours, be done. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. 1 Peter 2 verse 11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. James 4 verses 1-3. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Romans 8 verses 5 to 8. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace, because the mind of the flesh is hostile towards God, for it is not subject to God's law, neither indeed can it be. Those who are in the flesh can't please God. Number 14. The desire to learn. The disciples of Jesus were Jewish. They had observed and practiced their religion from birth. They had seen many holy men pray, and they participated in religious feasts and ceremonies that repeated the same prayers year after year, every year. You would think the disciples had a good knowledge of prayer. However, when they saw Jesus pray, they were so impressed that they asked him to teach them how to pray. Luke 11 verses 1 to 10. And it came to pass, that, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Number 15. Jesus' teachings on prayer. Pray for enemies. Matthew 5 verse 44. Don't pray to be seen of men. Matthew 6 verses 5 to 6. Don't use vain repetitions. Matthew 6 verse 7. Outline for prayer. The Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6 verses 9 to 13. Pray for workers in the harvest. Matthew 9 verse 38. Pray in trials. Matthew 26 verse 41. Pray in faith. Mark 11 verse 24. Perseverance in prayer. Luke 18 verses 1 to 8. Humility in prayer. Luke 18 verses 9 to 14. Prayer for disciples. John 17 verses 6 to 19. Prayer for all believers. John 17 verses 20 to 26. Number 16. Jesus' dependence on the Father. The most powerful way that Jesus taught about prayer was the living example he demonstrated before his disciples. There were times in Jesus' ministry that they were so busy they had no time to eat, and at the end of the day, late at night, when the disciples were exhausted, they went to sleep. But Jesus would go out by himself, pray all night, and then continue his ministry the next day. The physical stamina required for his rigorous life of prayer was nothing less than a supernatural display of the power of God. No doubt that watching Jesus pray made a permanent impact on the disciples. Jesus was a living and breathing example of total obedience, dependence, and communion with the Father. Luke 6 verses 12 to 13. And it came to pass in those days, that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Luke 5 verses 15 to 16. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear, and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness, and prayed. Mark 6:31, 46-47. And he said to them, Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. Mark 1 verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out, and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. Matthew 14 verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. John 5 verse 19. Jesus gave them this answer, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself, he can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does the Son also does. John 5 verse 30. By myself I can do nothing, I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. In the same way that Jesus was dependent on the Father for everything, we are dependent on Jesus for everything, and apart from him, we can do nothing. Jesus told us we must be in continuous communion with him to bear fruit. And if we are in fellowship with him, what we ask for will be done, and it will glorify the Father. John 15 verses 4-8. Jesus is speaking. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Number 17. Weakness is strength. The Apostle Paul was also a role model of dependence on God. Paul said, "When I am weak, that's when I am strong in Christ." The rich and powerful can peddle money and influence to deal with their problems. But the weak and poor are desperate and depend on God as their only hope, so they urgently and passionately cry out to God for help. 2 Corinthians 12 verses 7-10. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. James 2 verse 5. Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? 2 Chronicles 16 verses 7-9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to shew himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Number 18. Scripturally correct prayers. To discern the will of God when we pray, we should find a Bible verse that fits our situation and pray in harmony with the Scriptures. To have the assurance that we are praying in agreement with the revealed will of God, we must be students of the Word of God to verify through the Scriptures that our prayers reflect God's purposes, plans, and character. Quoting verses in their context while praying assures us that we are aligned with the will of God when we pray. If quoting verses becomes our regular practice, we will memorize more of the Bible, and our prayers will be more powerful. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Daniel 9 verses 2-3. I, Daniel, understood from the Scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So, I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting, and in sackcloth and ashes. Hebrews 1 verses 2-3. Has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. 2 Peter 3 verses 2-7. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Number 19. God's courtroom. Jesus used the example of a persistent widow pestering, nagging, and begging a judge as an example of the attitude that gets answers to prayer. We should be relentless in bringing our petitions before God the great judge until he answers our prayers. Luke 18 verses 1-7. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time, he refused. But finally, he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Ultimately, as we bring our petitions in prayer, we enter God's courtroom and present our case before God, the judge of all. One example would be how Abraham made intercession. Once God revealed that he would destroy Sodom, immediately, Abraham interceded with God on behalf of his nephew Lot. Abraham, like an attorney, presented the case for Lot's rescue by appealing to God's justice, saying, "Surely you will not destroy the righteous with the wicked. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is right?" Then Abraham negotiated with God for the righteous remnant in Sodom, sounding like a downward auction, going from 50 righteous souls to 45, 45 to 40, 40 to 30, 30 to 20, 20 to 10, and so God consented to spare Sodom if there were 10 righteous souls there. However, there were not 10 righteous souls, but Abraham respectfully made his plea for Lot, and God granted his petition for Lot and sent two angels to save Lot and his family. Genesis 18 verse 26. "Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked, far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" The Lord said, "If I find 50, 45 or 40, 30, 20, 10, righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Number 20. Jesus, our defense attorney. We have a better intercessor than Abraham. Jesus is the one who represents us before the Father, and he has purchased our pardon with his blood. And now he ever lives to make our case before the Father. John 2 verse 1. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate, attorney, with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." 1 Timothy 2 verse 5. "For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Hebrews 7 verse 24. "But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." Number 21. Satan is the prosecuting attorney. We have an adversary, an accuser, and a slanderer who wants to destroy us, and he is like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He is like a prosecuting attorney who continuously slanders the righteous, which is why prayer is always a battle. 1 Peter 5 verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Revelation 12 verses 9-10. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, for the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God, day and night, has been cast down. Number 22. Making our case. Regarding prayer, we have seen terms that relate to making your case in court or using military tactics and strategies to win a victory. That points to the fact that we must be diligent, study the Word, prepare and battle with our arguments from the written Word, and present our case before God the Judge. Isaiah 1 verse 18. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. The Hebrew word translated here as reason literally means to argue, decide, dispute, judge, plead, and rebuke. In other words, God says, come let us argue, come let us decide, come let us dispute, come let us judge, come let us plead, and come let us rebuke with each other. To do all that, we need to use all our reasoning and rationalization skills. That's part of loving God with all our hearts, minds, soul, and strength. These meetings are not just light or frivolous chats, but pivotal interventions. See the example of God speaking to Israel and how he would plead his case with them. Ezekiel 20 verses 35-36. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the peoples, and there I will plead my case with you face to face. Just as I pleaded my case with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so I will plead my case with you, says the Lord God. When Job was afflicted and assailed by the accusations of his wife, friends, and Satan, he was like a lawyer, ready to present his case in court before God. Job 13 verses 15-18. Though he slay me, I will hope in him, nevertheless I will argue my ways before him, to his face. Behold now, I have prepared my case. I know that I will be vindicated. Number 23. The Battle of Prayer. One day the accuser will be cast out of heaven, but for now, we have to battle his army in prayer. But God has equipped us with superior weapons, and we have the victory in Christ. Ephesians 6 verses 12-18. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Romans 8 verses 37-39. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Bible describes the type of battles taking place in heavenly realms when we pray. Daniel had visions from the Lord, and when he prayed to receive an understanding of the visions, an angel named Gabriel got dispatched to give him insight. But as Gabriel was on his way to talk to Daniel, he was met with resistance and had to battle the evil angels that ruled over the realms of Persia to get to Daniel. After battling with the ruling satanic powers of Persia, Gabriel would have to go to fight the spiritual wickedness that ruled over Greece. Daniel 10 verses 12-20. Then he said to me, Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand, and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. Then he said, Do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia, and when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come. We must also be ready to take our prayers into the battle with the satanic powers. Our armory of weapons is the scriptures that we use as arrows to shoot down and defeat our enemies. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God that we use to cast down every stronghold of the devil with logical, rational, and intelligent arguments by the inspiration and the power of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 10 verses 3-6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Ephesians 6 verses 10-18. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Number 24. Fighting with the sword of the Spirit. Quoting Bible verses is a great way to pray, and if you find a verse that fits your situation, you can use it as a sword to fight your spiritual battles. We see that Jesus used the spiritual sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, to fight against Satan. At the end of 40 days of fasting and being tested, Satan came with 3 final attacks against Jesus, and each time Jesus defeated him by saying, It is written. Luke 4 verses 3-4. And the devil said to him, If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Luke 4 verse 8. And Jesus answered and said to him, Get behind me, Satan. For it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Luke 4 verse 12. And Jesus answered and said to him, It is said in the writings, You may not put the Lord your God to the test. When Jesus returns to judge the nations at the second coming, scriptures say he has a sword coming out of his mouth, meaning he is speaking the word of God as a sword to cut down his enemies and make war with the nations. Revelation 19 verses 11-15. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. You can pray using your own words and thoughts, but they will not have the same power as when you use scriptures. That is why we suggest praying with the scriptures, which will also keep you aligned with the will of God and the mind of God. We will use a healing verse as an example of how you can personalize the scriptures when you pray. 1 Peter 2 verse 24. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. You would pray, "By Jesus' stripes I am healed," or insert the name of the person you are praying for, "By Jesus' stripes Joe sick person is healed." Each verse is like a two-edged sword that cuts in both directions, and we should keep swinging that sword and other swords, and the more scriptures you can use in your prayers, the better. Sometimes God will speak a verse, especially for you, which becomes your verse, and that verse is perfect for your situation and becomes a big part of your life. That verse gives you focus and direction and is your defensive and offensive weapon against the enemy. And that verse sits at the top of your scripture list until the next verse pops off the page at you, which then becomes your verse, and repeat the cycle. The bottom line is to build your list of prayer verses, like filling your quiver with more victory arrows. 2 Kings 13 verse 17. "Open the east window," he said, and he opened it. "Shoot," Elisha said, and he shot the Lord's arrow of victory. Psalms 45 verse 3. "Gird your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one," speaking of Jesus, "with your glory and your majesty. And in your majesty ride prosperously because of truth, humility, and righteousness, and your right hand shall teach you awesome things. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, the peoples fall under you." Number 25. Prayer Outlines. This study only covers a few aspects of prayer because prayer is not a destination where you arrive and are finished. Prayer is meant to be a lifestyle of continuous communion with God and is a journey whereby we grow and have new experiences with God every day of our life. Developing a prayer life is up to the individual, and we must personally decide what our commitment will be. We should all be prayer warriors and get our marching orders, build our arsenal, and engage in the battle. It's up to each person to enter the courtroom as an intercessor, to do their research, prepare their arguments, state the legal precedents from the written word of God, and present their case before God the judge. Everyone has their particular way of praying because we are all individuals with a personal relationship with God. There is no authorized official template for prayer, but the most important thing is to simply pray and spend time with God. We have included a few outlines that may help organize and develop a disciplined prayer life. Number 26. Different types of prayer. In the Old Testament temple, the priest would burn incense daily as part of their service to God. God instructed Moses to make incense with four different ingredients in equal amounts. Burning incense is symbolic of prayer and identifies a balance of four types of prayers. Exodus 30 verses 34 to 35. "And the Lord said to Moses, take sweet spices, stacte and onycha and galbanum, and pure frankincense with these sweet spices, there shall be equal amounts of each. You shall make of these an incense, a compound according to the art of the perfumer, salted, pure, and holy." Psalms 141 verse 2. "Let my prayer be set before you like incense, the lifting up of my hands like the evening sacrifice." Revelation 8 verses 3 to 4. "Another angel, who had a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer, with the prayers of all the saints, on the golden altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of the saints, went up before God from the angel's hand. There were four ingredients to the incense, and the Apostle Paul also mentioned four types of prayer: request, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks. There should be equal amounts or a balance between different kinds of prayers. One aspect of balancing different types of prayers is that it creates variations so that we don't get stuck in a rut and pray the same way every time. Prayer should not become boring, monotonous, or repetitious. 1 Timothy 2 verses 1 to 4. "I urge, then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good, and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. 1 Corinthians 14 verses 14 to 15. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So, what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. Ephesians 5 verses 19 to 20. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Number 27. Types of prayer. Number 1. Casual prayer. Praying for meals, trips, etc. Number 2. Current events. Pray for emergencies, special needs, etc. Number 3. Community prayer. Praying at church meetings, etc. Number 4. Committed prayer. Personal daily prayer. Number 5. Combat prayer. Intercessory prayer and spiritual warfare. Number 6. Continuous prayer. Praying always, a spirit of prayer. Number 28. The subjects of prayer. Number 1. All men. Prayer for nations and people groups. Number 2. Governments. Pray for godly leaders who rule justly in the fear of God. Number 3. Kings. Prayer for leaders, presidents, etc. Number 4. Rulers. Prayer for those in positions of authority. Number 5. Family. Pray for their salvation, provision, healing, etc. Number 6. Church. Prayer for spiritual understanding and discernment. Number 7. Lost souls. Prayer for souls to be saved. Number 29. First Church Examples of Prayer. Number 1. Prayer to appoint a new apostle. Acts 1 verse 24. Number 2. Prayer for boldness. Acts 4 verses 23 to 31. Number 3. Prayer to appoint deacons. Acts 6 verse 6. Number 4. Prayed to receive the Holy Spirit. Acts 8 verse 15. Number 5. Prayed to send out missionaries. Acts 13 verses 1 to 3. Number 6. Prayed to appoint elders. Acts 14 verse 23. Number 30. Pray for Jerusalem and the nations. God's house is called a house of prayer for all nations. We should pray for all the nations, especially since we have access to global news instantly as it happens. God has declared a special blessing to those who pray for Israel and the peace of Jerusalem. Isaiah 56 verse 7. These I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Psalms 122 verses 6 to 7. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, may they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. Number 31. Paul's prayers for the churches. The Apostle Paul sent letters to the churches to encourage, rebuke, and instruct them. The same letters also revealed how and what he prayed for regarding the different situations in the churches. Paul's prayers are relevant today for us, and we should use them as templates for our prayers. Number 32. Prayers for the Ephesians. Ephesians 6 verses 18 to 20. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly, as I ought to speak. Ephesians 1 verses 15 to 19. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us ward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Number 33. Prayers for the Philippians. Philippians 1 verses 3 to 6. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1 verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Philippians 4 verses 6 to 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Number 34. Prayers for the Colossians. Colossians 1 verse 3 and verses 9 to 13. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and longsuffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Colossians 4 verses 2 to 4. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving, meanwhile praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest, as I ought to speak. Colossians 4 verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Number 35. Prayers for the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5 verses 17 to 18. Pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5 verses 22 to 25. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. 2 Thessalonians 1 verses 11 to 12. Therefore we also pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 16 to 17. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. 2 Thessalonians 3 verses 1 to 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. The following is a sample of lists categorized by topic as prayer verses. We listed three subjects as sample topics, but you could make an endless list of prayer verses to put on paper or commit to memory as you pray. Number 36. Prayer verses for spiritual warfare. Matthew 16 verses 18 to 19. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Psalms 149 verses 6 to 9. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance, to bind their kings with chains, and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute the judgment written. Isaiah 54 verse 17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Luke 10 verse 19. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Psalms 18 verses 2 to 3. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. Psalms 18 verses 29 to 36. For by you I can run against a troop, by my God I can leap over a wall. He is a shield to all who trust in him. It is God who arms me with strength, and makes my way perfect. He teaches my hands to make war, so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. Number 37. Prayer verses for healing. Exodus 15 verse 26. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heals you. Mark 16 verses 17 to 18. And these signs will follow those who believe, in my name, they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Matthew 12 verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Psalms 103 verses 1 to 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Matthew 9 verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Luke 7 verse 7. Therefore I did not even think myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. Psalms 107 verses 19 to 20. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Luke 9 verse 11. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them, and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. Acts 4 verses 29-31. Now, Lord, look on their threats, and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Number 38. Prayer verses for salvation. Luke 19 verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. 1 Timothy 1 verse 15. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Psalms 34 verses 18-19. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. 2 Peter 3 verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Ezekiel 33 verse 11. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways. For why should you die, O house of Israel? Hebrews 7 verse 25. Therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Romans 10 verse 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Number 39. Call to action. Because we are in the end times, the world is changing quickly to line up with biblical prophecy, like birth pangs, growing in intensity and frequency. For the first time, events have a unified global response like pandemics, lockdowns, sanctions, and moving towards a one-world government and technology dictatorship. Israel is a nation again, and World War III is threatening. The tribulation is coming, and the rapture can happen at any time. Before Jesus comes, there will be a great falling away with perverted, politically woke churches and government persecution. American Christians may suffer severe persecution and go underground. The first church started in homes, and it may end in homes. While we have time and freedom, we need to study and share the Word of God and learn to live by faith. This book is part of a series of basic teachings that all Christians should be able to teach. We call it the Toolbox Series because each study is a tool for you to share your faith with others. These tools can also be a startup kit for small groups, used as workbooks, and shared freely online. For free resources and study materials, visit our website at ears. The number 2. Here. Dot online.